This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
People, not politics.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. As the fallout from this recession worsens, this is how President Obama is framing his economic stimulus package. It's not about politics. It's about people. So while the Senate debates the package today, the president will be holding a town hall meeting in Elkhart, Indiana. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson says Obama wants to remind members of Congress how much Americans are suffering.
Elkhart is feeling the recession in a way Washington couldn't even dream of. Unemployment there exceeds 15%. Tomorrow, the president will be in the home foreclosure capital of Fort Myers, Florida, for another town hall meeting. The effort to take control of the debate comes as the stimulus is poised to pass the Senate barely. Just three Republicans are said to be on board with Democrats who support the plan. Lawrence Summers, who chairs the administration's Economic Council, did the talk show circuit yesterday, and he dismissed Republican concerns that the bill will not stimulate the economy.
Those who presided over the last 8 years, the 8 years that brought us to an economy that's collapsing more rapidly than in any time in the last 50 years, don't seem to me in a strong position to lecture.
Summers was speaking on ABC's This Week. The $827 billion Senate version of the stimulus bill faces a key vote later today. It could see a final vote tomorrow. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Also tomorrow, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner will talk about how the next part of the bank bailout will be spent. Reports are that Treasury will pump even more cash into banks, try to help homeowners avoid foreclosures, and encourage private investors to buy some of the bank's so-called troubled assets. So whatever happened to the first half of the bank bailout, all the money spent last year under the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP? Well, bank executives will be testifying to Congress about that this week. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Congress didn't attach many strings to the first half of the TARP money. Banks aren't required to say how they spent it. Trying to figure it out is like nailing Jell-O to the wall. Even Elizabeth Warren has to guess, and she chairs a congressional oversight panel on TARP.
Some of the money went into buying other banks. Some of the money could have been used for buying assets in foreign countries, and it appears that some large portion of the money just was stuffed into bank vaults.
Warren says banks may have lent out some of the TARP money, but it's hard to say because no one kept track of the cash. But Scott Talbot says that's impossible. He's the chief lobbyist for the Financial Services Roundtable.
Just as a husband and wife put their paychecks into a checking account, can you track which paycheck dollar actually was used to pay the electric bill?
That's what bank executives will tell Congress. And Talbot says the execs will also emphasize that without the TARP money, lending would have gone into a free fall. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And naturally, all of this is of great interest to investors. Remember Wall Street's optimism over the stimulus measure? Well, that was last week. All the partisan feuding seems to have soured the mood. Dow futures are pointing lower ahead of the bell. European markets are mostly lower. Not in London, though. Banking giant Barclays reported a smaller-than-expected drop in its 2008 profits. London's FTSE index is up more than 1%. Asian markets ended mixed. Japan's Nikkei was down more than 1%. Japanese automaker Nissan forecast its first annual net loss in 9 years, and it is dumping 20,000 jobs, 8.5% of its workforce. The company's directors will forego their bonuses this year, and Nissan's corporate officers will take a 10% pay cut.
Mark Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. And by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Women Heart and its efforts to address the number one killer of women in the United States, heart disease. MedtronicFoundation.org.
Ticket sales have been a little slow for today's start of the Westminster Dog Show. It does ring a strange note to be fussing over an American foxhound while American workers are suffering. On the other hand, pampering a pet can be comforting at a time like this. There are pet hotels, veterinary antidepressants, dog yoga classes, and this from reporter James Nestor in San Francisco.
Mitchell Berg is stacking dog perfumes onto cramped shelves at Bow Wow Meow. The manager of this upscale pet store says people find these products useful.
Especially if they sleep with their dog and what have you.
I brought in my 3-year-old rescue mutt, Face, to try out some perfumes.
You know, you've got Harry Barker, citrus fragrance, floral fragrance. You've got Earth Bath, which is a locally made product. And not only does he have numerous fragrances, but he also has wipes.
Stay.
I sprayed Face with Harry Barker. She tried to twist out of her collar to avoid it. But Burke says this stuff is flying off the shelves. So much so that in 2007, Liz Claiborne's Juicy Couture released Dog Pawfume, a unisex fragrance sold at major department stores. Other makers followed.
Sexy Beast is 100% hypoallergenic, 100% vegan fragrance for your dog. It's really beautiful. I mean, we wear it, so we love it.
That's Beth Ehrenberg, brand manager for Sexy Beast. But Rachel Fagenbaum, a San Francisco vet, argues that some perfumes can be irritating, possibly toxic, and could disorient a dog's fine sense of smell.
A dog's aesthetic when it comes to smells is very different from a human aesthetic.
Some dog perfume makers think organics are the answer. George, a San Francisco pet boutique, offers fragrances with chamomile and tea tree oil. Manager Deborah Lowe's.
These ones, this is a really cute line. This is from Lonnie, and they base their scents on places that dogs, that will be familiar to dogs. So we only carry beach and park. You want to try that one?
Oh.
Face freaked out and cowered in a corner. I told Deborah, now I think we'll head for the real beach.
Face, come here.
In San Francisco, this is James Nestor for Marketplace.
What about you? Where do you go to find some peace of mind amid the fallout these days? We'd like to hear your story at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.